Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for everyone that is here tonight. We have been waiting for you, and now we know you're here. So we ask you, Lord, to stay right here with us, filling us with your love. Lord, let my words be the words you want spoken. Let hearts and lives be challenged. Let people decide to get up and be the church you've called them to be. Let people have a determination in them this very night that will change their destination, will change their destiny, and will change everything about their way they're walking, talking, and acting. And it will be so much evidence of you. Many hearts and lives will be changed and come into you just from us walking in the light and being the light. So I thank you, Lord. I thank you. I thank you for being here. And I thank you, Lord, for the praise and worship and the awesomeness of your presence both nights and for many people that you have in this house that want to serve you. And so we just thank you in advance and we just praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been talking about the great race. For some of you who wasn't here last night, we were in the church racing. We had a race in here last night. And thank goodness there was no bad knees or ankles and nobody got hurt. And we did have a winner. And we didn't call the other one a loser. We just said that one came in second place. Amen. But God wants us to achieve to be winners. He sent his son Jesus so that we could accomplish what we need to accomplish. Jesus laid down the pattern for us to follow. He paid it all for us to be overcomers. Greater is he in me than he that is in the world. And that's why he said, when I go home to be with the Father, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, which is the Comforter. He said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless, but I'm going to send you the Comforter. And the Holy Spirit is what leads, guides, and directs and gives us the strength to endure to the end. My Bible says that he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see God. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So greatly run the race till we see Christ. I want to tell you, it will be worth it all. It's going to be worth it all, church, when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small, but you don't know how hard it is right now. You don't know what all's going on. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse, just one glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So greatly run the race till we see Christ. Are you looking for that day? Are you getting excited? It's going to be worth it all. You see, there were two frogs who decided they wanted to get to the very top of the top. Not two frogs. There was a bunch of frogs. Excuse me. But the two frogs went to the other frogs and said, let's all see if we can try to get to the top of this high tower. And so all the frogs lined up on the starting line, ready to go. And, of course, they said, ready, set, go. And when the sound of go went, they all took off. And some were going and hopping faster than others. But pretty soon, many of them began to get tired. there was many stairs and a very high way to get up, and they had little short hopping legs, and some was just, you know, and they got real long tongues, but their little tongues were hanging out. They was about to just fall all over them. They said, "We can't do this." And some of the others said, "I can't either." They said, "Well, let's just stop. Why are we doing this?" I said, "Because somebody said we need to race to the top. We need to all try to get up there." He said, "Well, I just can't do it." And another one said, and pretty soon many frogs just stopped, and others kept popping, and they're hollering, "You don't have to do it no more. You can stop. You don't have to keep going." But they just kept on going. But pretty soon some of them looked back and said, "They said we can stop, and I'm tired." And some of the others said, "Me too." And so they stopped. Now it was down to two frogs, and the two frogs kept hollering, hopping, and people was hollering, "Y'all can stop. We've all stopped. We're not decided. We're not going to go to the top. It's too hard." And the one frog heard, and he's trying to get the other frog's attention, hollering, "We can stop. We can stop." But that other frog just kept going, kept going. Everybody began to holler, "Stop. You don't have to do it no more. We've all changed our mind." But that frog kept on going. And kept on going. And the more they hollered and the more they tried to just tell that little frog throwing things, "Stop, stop, you don't have to go to the end," that frog got all the way to the top. Finally, when the frog got up there and saw the others, and they finally got to that frog later to talk, they said, "Why didn't you stop? Everybody told you you didn't have to do this. You're exhausted. Now you can't hardly get up. You can't hardly go. Why didn't you stop?" They found out that frog was deaf, didn't know that he didn't hear, that he could stop. Some of us need to be deaf to the naysayers. We need to be deaf to the world. We need to be deaf to Satan. And we need to quit listening to people who says we don't have to do that. We don't need to be hearing people say, "Well, you just don't have to go to church to have God." I am too. I am so sick of hearing that one. "Well, sister, I can have Jesus and not go to church." Yeah, we know you go to bedside assembly. The Springs does the singing. Brother Bedspread covers the subject. Amen. That is not going to help you endure till the end. I don't care what anybody tells you. Most of the time, people who's quit going to church is because they're offended, and that offense could end up sending them to hell because they didn't know how to forgive, and they wouldn't let go of something they needed to let go of, and because of that, they won't darken a church door. Amen. I hate to say it, but the reason they got offended because they were already offended. Because offense breeds offense. Anger breeds anger. Come on, bitterness breeds bitterness. There's some things you hadn't cleaned out of your trunk and out of your traps inside of you. They're going to end up manifesting if you don't turn them over to God. Now I'm meddling instead of preaching, but amen. Meddle for a while. He likes it. All right, I like you. He said, "Go ahead, please meddle." We were talking last night about Philippians 3:14, where it said, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." I press toward the mark. That means that we have a finish line, but we're not at that finish line. And last night I explained it like a marathon. You see, not everybody has to come in at the same time on a marathon. But everybody starts at the same starting point. Last night we gave numbers to people, and each of them kind of got up here and held their little number like we were doing a marathon. And I said, if this is a number that man would probably select for you, or a number you would get to be in a race. But in God's race, the number you are with him, and I had him turn over, and it said you're number one. All of us are number one with him. Amen. Of course, he loves me the best. I'm his favorite. No? No, I'm his favorite. You are? Amen. See, now you're getting it. That's right. We all are his favorite because we're not, "Oh, well, you don't know. I bet you are because I mess up and I do this wrong and I do that wrong." Come on. He's a God of second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh chances. He gives us so many chances to get it right. He's not finished with us till it's finished. I said he's not finished with us until it's finished. Amen. So you're here, you're breathing, right? You got another chance. Amen. I said you got another chance. You can get back in the race. Hallelujah. To go to the finish line. But it's not over till we get to the finish line. And the problem is that the Bible says it's he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Amen. So I want to tell you something about a guy that was in a race in Barcelona in 1992. His name, the athlete's name was Derek Redmond. And Derek Redmond was a great athlete. Maybe some of you might have heard about him back then. He had won some many trophies and very strong. But in this 1992 Olympics, he was ahead in the race. He was way ahead of everybody. He looked like the champion, and the others were still. They didn't stop racing that they could have. They saw him way ahead thinking, well, he's going to win anyway, and I'm giving it all I can. And yet they kept running. Something happened to Derek as he's getting closer and he's seeing the finish line ahead of him there. The hamstring took a hold of his leg and he fell and he hit the ground. The medics and the people began to run out. The runners kept running, but the medics and people began to run out, try to help him, and he pushed them away. And they said, "You need help." And he said, "I'm finishing this race." And so they backed off, and then the referees were trying to go over to ask him, and he pushed them away. And they thought, we don't know what to do with him. And he was trying to get back up with his leg aching, and he's hopping along with that leg, and he'd fall back down, and he'd try to get back up. And about that time, this older man from the crowd began to push through the crowd, and the referees and the paramedics and everybody was trying to stop him. Where are you going? And he pushed through the crowd, and he got out to Derek. He said, "Son, you don't have to do this." He said, "Yes, Father, I do." He said, "Then if you're going to do this, son, I'm going to do it with you." And he grabbed his son's arm, and he grabbed him up and held him where that leg was hobbling, and he's trying. All the runners had already come in, but here's Derek still struggling to come. And now his dad has grabbed a hold of him, and Dad's got tears running down his face while Derek is severe in pain. And then Derek throws his head on his dad's shoulder, and his dad begins to take him on to the finish line. When he crossed the finish line, the whole crowd, the whole audience began to cheer and yell, got a standing ovation, because that great cloud of witnesses is waiting for us. No matter what's happening to us, no matter how bad it may seem, no matter how many attacks come upon us, how many failures we have, they're saying, come on, you can do this. And sometimes our own Heavenly Father will come down and he will pick us up and he'll say, hold on to me, lean on me, and I'll help get you to the finish line. Why? Because he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, but lo, I'm with you always. Always. Some of you have been trying to do it in your own strength. Some of you have been trying to earn it, make it happen. Well, if I do this, if I read more, I know I can do it. If I pray more, I just don't read enough. What's enough? Well, I just don't pray enough. What's enough? Do you see what I'm trying to say? The devil picks on you. It's never going to be enough with the devil. He's never going to think you do enough, because he wants you to always think you've got to earn it and you got to work for it. It has been freely given. Now it's time for you to freely receive and enjoy this race that we're in. I mean, to me, one of the most fun, exciting things is to holler to a bunch of kids in a race and say, ready, set, go. And the laughter and the fun, and they're all trying, and they're not, I mean, they're just having fun, and I'm going to beat you anyway. And they keep on trying, even though they see people are ahead. They don't, oh, no, they ain't going to win. No, they're like, come on, we can do this. And that's why we should be as Christians. We should be excited that we're in this race together. And the better excitement of it, it's like the marathon. Even if you beat me to the finish line, doesn't mean I have to stop. Amen. Well, my mom already died. She won. I guess I'll quit. No, she's waiting on me to come join her one day. She did beat me there. She crossed the finish line before I did. So did my sister Becky. We could all think of people who's already crossed the finish line, and they're waiting on us. Sometimes one of the things that you tell some people when they're not living for God, and you do the funeral, when we pastored and we did the funeral of some of the family who wasn't serving God, and I said, would you like to see your mom or your dad again? Yes. I wish he'd just bring him back. I said, he's not. But if you get right with God, you'll get to spend eternity with him. It will be worth it all. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So greatly run the race, the race, the race, till we see Christ. What am I saying? The race isn't over till we go home and see Christ. That's when the race is over. That's when we cross the finish line. So what do we do in the meantime? We got to keep running. We got to keep trying. If a hamstring takes you down, if it seems like all the other frogs have quit and they don't seem to want to do what you're doing and they're not hopping along, just pretend you're deaf and you don't want to hear what they got to say, because you know in yourself, you got to make it. Amen. Ecclesiastes 7 and 8 says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning. And we all think, no, the beginning. I mean, if you look at a marathon, they look more fresh and crisp and smiley. Their shirts look all starched and ironed all good. And their makeup's all in place. Their tennis shoes look all shiny and they've been tied good. They don't look like they're come unstrung. Their socks doesn't look like they've fallen down some. So the beginning looks really good. And sometimes when you see some of them coming toward the end of the race and they're, you know, and they're all sweaty and their hair sticking all out and their makeup's all sweated off and their shoestrings look like they're coming undone, look like some of them even lost a shoe and hobbling in with one shoe on and one shoe off. And you're thinking, this is supposed to look better at the end? Yeah. It is, because guess what? When they cross that finish line, it's over. No more running, no more walking, no more competition, no more struggles, no more hamstrings, no more tiredness, no more pain, no more exhaustion. We made it! The end, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. To finish what we start takes hard work, wise guidance, and self-discipline. Anyone with a vision can start a big project, but vision without wisdom often results in unfinished products and goals. Now, I know as a pastor, I had a lot of enthusiastic people in my church. They had visions. They just didn't know how to complete them. They didn't want to complete them. They always, some of them even went to a different church at one time. And so they had this great idea. You know, we used to do these dinners at this other church. And this really, and I said, well, that's nice, but I just don't think we have enough people in our church who will help with dinners. Oh, yeah, we can all pitch in. And I go, really? It seems like every time we do an after church dinner, my husband and I are running into town to buy chicken and things. And I said, and all of the people in our church are hiding plates to take home to people who didn't come to church, and we run out of food. And you want to talk to me about we're going to do a dinner and everybody's going to help? What it cost is me and my husband. I had one lady in our church, she always, and I mean she loved God and she was very sincere in what she said at the time, but she decided at one time that we needed good nursery workers, and she just went on and on. I said, well, since you're so enthusiastic about it, you do the nursery. And so she did for about a month and a half, and then she told me that, you know, she would rather sit in church and maybe people ought to take their kids back into church. They need to make them learn to be disciplined in church. She had a vision for a short period of time. The work got more than, maybe the hamstring was just a little tough on her leg back there in the nursery. And she didn't have, felt like somebody was coming to help her to the finish. She said, I am not finishing this project. And so she quit. And that's funny. Then she came to me and said, you know, our children need a good children's church. That leader you have back there is always yelling at the kids, and she's just not that good. And I said, well, since you know so much, I think you would be good at that. See, I've learned that if people come with an idea in my church, when we pastored, I don't. Now, that's probably why I still don't pastor. Yeah, right. I thought, well, since you have such a great idea and you seem to know more about it than I do, because I'm not really that. I'm still learning as I go. Why don't you should do it? And, of course, she did. That lasted less than a month. Those kids are monsters. They're parents, and you need to have counseling with their parents, and they're the rudest. And she began to tell me how bad the kids was, and I'm thinking, Lord, does she ever see inside herself? You know? And I said, well, then apparently you're already burnt out, and it's not even a month. See, there's people who can get in a burnout. But there's just some people who they have this dream and vision, and it's because they want something for convenience for them, and so they have all the great ideas. And the best way to break their great ideas is just let them do it. So it became next was the youth. Now, you have to remember that I've had several experiences of this woman coming up with great ideas. She goes, somebody's going to clean the church. She decided for a while to clean the church. I didn't need to be paying somebody to clean the church when she could save the church money. Great. Well, I had to try to hire that person back later, and that person wouldn't come and do it anymore. And so I had to find someone else and had to pay more money after getting rid of the person we had. I'm just telling you a little bit of things that people, you know, we can come up with great ideas, but if you're going to start something, you got an idea for something, you need to be a finisher. See, I don't pastor anymore, so I can say it. But if I did, I'd still tell you. In fact, just a suggestion to pastors, what I finally did, when that person came to me again and decided the youth needed a youth leader, and she was the best, and she sent me, and I said no. I kept saying no and no. But I have to say she was like the widow woman in Luke 18 who persisted. She just kept on. I said no, because you quit things. You do not stay with something, and I don't want to start something again. I don't want to get our youth excited about something, and it don't. Everything we start, if we don't finish it, it does not look good to the church. It does not look good to people who's coming. We're looked as people who don't finish. We're not finishers. And I would rather take my time, start it right, so we finish it. Amen. So this kept on, just to give you, so finally she's just so persistent. I finally said, you're not going away till you get the youth, are you? She said, no. I said, well, I don't believe you'll stay. I promise this time. I said, well, I'm going to tell you what. We're going to sign a one-year contract. You're going to make me sign a contract? Yes, I am. And you're going to sign, and you're going to, everything you're promising me you're going to do, you're going to put in this contract, but I'm going to put on my end the things that you are going to complete and finish before you can walk away from this assignment. Come on. So, pastors, you might think about a contract. I have to say, in 6 months, she was ready to quit it, and I pulled the contract out. You're going to make me stick to that? I said, why do you think we did a contract? Are you not faithful to a contract? That is your signature, right? I had witnesses. I brought the two witnesses in that saw the contract signed. You see, why am I saying all that? I'm saying all that because we have great ideas, but make sure it's God's idea and not yours. Make sure it's something that God wants you, because God put you in something to start. He's going to help you be a finisher. And when it's time that you are not, maybe it's not what you're doing because you're not doing it because you decide to quit. You're not doing it. The reason you may not be maybe in the nursery longer is because He's promoted you to the children. Are the teenagers, so you might have got promoted. Now, to me, the babies would be a great promotion. You can preach to them, and they don't know if you got, I mean, you can just get in there and preach and pray, prophesy, lay hands, cast out devils on those little babies, and they just, or cry. Amen. Amen. So, to me, I think nursery would be one of the greatest places. But I'm trying to say, people, that many times you'll see what other churches do, and you'll say, that's what I want in my church. Make sure it's what the vision God has given your pastor. Make sure it's what God wants. Your vision will cause division if it does not line up with your pastor's vision. Amen. So many times you may have to ask, I have this great idea, but I don't know if it's your vision. And many times a pastor may have just been praying for something along that line, but then they'll say, let's be in a little more prayer about it and see how God wants us to do this. Amen. He doesn't want you to burn out. He doesn't want you to get tired. He don't want you to hate children. He don't want you to hate teenagers by putting you in a position like that where you... He wants you to love them, and He wants you to be able to finish, and He wants you to teach them how to be a finisher. You see, one of the problems I had is my son begged and begged us to play baseball. And we kept saying no because we don't know if we have time, and we don't know if you know, sometimes you start things, you don't want to finish it. Well, I'm going to do this. I will finish. And so many times that was said till we finally agreed to let him play baseball. We'd only been into about several months of baseball, and he decided, or was it baseball or football? Football. And he decided now he was one of the shortest kids of all of them, and he was getting roughed up a lot. And he decided he didn't like football no more, and he wasn't going to play no more. I said, yeah, you are. No, I don't want to play. I said, it doesn't matter. You don't have a choice. We're going to finish this because I'm going to teach you from this right here. When we start something, we finish it. It was a fight. It was a struggle. It was a lot of things that we went through, but one thing I taught him, that every time after that, when he asked to do something, I say, now remember, we're going to finish this if we do it. Are you sure you want to do it? When you take somebody through to where they do it till they finish, it will make them think again before they jump and want to say, I'm going to do that. Amen? Now, that's not even all my sermon, really. I don't know why I got off track on that, but I think it's some things some of you need to hear and need to know, because the devil will distract you because he wants to, as I said, on the road is distractions to get you off track, to get you away, because when the great runners run in the race, they would find out what the weakness of that runner was, and they would put it in the road to distract that runner. And Paul knew that. He said, that's why you keep your eyes focused on the mark. You look to the author and finish of your faith. You look to Jesus, always looking toward that finish for the prize of the high calling, because Satan has plots to stop you and distract you and get you off on the side of the road. If it's money, he'll put money on the road. If it's women, he'll put women. If it's men, he'll put men. If it's sex, if it's drugs, whatever it may be, alcohol, he'll put it on the road to cause you, even if you don't run, you will slow down. You will lie, oh, do I keep? I like that. Oh, what do I? And it'll mess you up. And that's why God doesn't, even when he calls us to something, when he shows us, he wants to make sure we're equipped and we're ready. I said it before and I'll say it again. Many times we think we come to church to get fixed. We come to church to get equipped. Because we're mighty, mighty, mighty warriors, warriors. Mighty, mighty, mighty warriors, warriors. Mighty, mighty, mighty warriors, warriors. We cut off the giant's head. We have giants for our bread. Amen. You need to know who you are in Christ Jesus. So to finish what we start takes hard work, wise guidance, and self-discipline. Anyone with a vision can start a big project, but vision without wisdom often results in unfinished projects and goals. Zerubbabel, Ezra 3, is a very good example. He started the temple. And it was a wonderful temple. They haven't had a temple in a long time because the temple had been destroyed. And Zerubbabel got excited as the preacher, the pastor, the anointed one, and we're going to build a temple. And all the people, yeah, we're going to build a temple. And they started working on it, and they started getting it done. But here come the naysayers. This isn't as pretty as Solomon's. This is not how Solomon did it. If you went to Solomon's church like we did, if you just went over down to this church and they do it like this, if do you know that big church over there with that brick? Do you know how they're doing that? That's why they're doing what they do and have more, because they have these food things and they have these games inside the building. They have the coffee shop and the big screen TVs and the wrong, yeah, and they have the big gymnasium. You know, see, And so that's what the people began to do. They began to tell Zerubbabel, how it was not like Solomon. That's what we do. We try to compare where we're at with what somebody else is doing. We try to want to change where we're at to what somebody else is doing. That's not where God sent you. And God didn't send you to Indiana to try to figure out how Texas should do things. And God didn't send me to Texas to try to figure out how New York should do things. God put you where he put you, and he has a plan for you where you're at. And he wants you to get back in the race and get busy doing what he wants you to do and all come together. But the people begin to complain. And because of that, for 16 years, the building just sat there. 16 years. Talk about being stuck. That's what we was talking about last night, how we can get stuck. They were stuck. God had to send a prophet, Haggai, and I believe Zechariah, had to send two prophets, Zechariah, to Jerusalem. Boy, I wish they'd had easy names like John and Sam and Henry, but no, they have to have those that challenge my phonics that I wasn't so good at. But he sent two prophets. It took two prophets. Sometimes God has to send an evangelist to your church. Sometimes God has to send a prophet to your church. Sometimes God has to send an apostle. Sometimes God has to send someone to your job or to your home to stir you back up and say, what do you think you're doing? And why are you just letting this sit? And why are you just sitting? We've got to get things back together to be the church God's called the church to be. And they begin to come back, and they begin to talk to him, and he said, it's time to gather the people back up. It's time to get the temple built. It's time to do what God's called us to do. Get back in the race. Yeah, you're missing out. And so they did. And in 4 years, they completed it. In 4 years, they were encouraged and they completed the work with no matter the blocks, your obstacles, or whatever's going on. Whatever, get back up and finish. Well, I used to be a prayer warrior. I used to be a watch person on the wall. Get up! Get back on the wall! Get back to your teaching. Get back to your preaching. Get back to what God's called you to do and finish. No wonder he said, pray for the laborers in the harvest field, because they are few. You know what? If just the church people that's called to things would get stirred back up, we'd have a pretty good size harvest field. We really would. Because if one will put 1,000 to flight and two will put 10,000 to flight, and we get this kind of a room, run, devils, run, here we come. Woo! You think about mighty, mighty, mighty warriors, warriors, mighty, mighty, mighty warriors. Woo! Take the land, take the land. We would. It was just a handful of people that took the land. Amen. So we need to get back, no matter what the blocks, the obstacles, get back up and finish. We talked about Saul last night. People wanted a king, and so God gave them what they cried out for. It was not God's will. It's not what God wanted. But sometimes when we cry hard enough, cry loud enough, God says, fine, give it to them. He loves us so much, he still gives us sometimes what we don't need and what we should not have. Shouldn't even have it. And then later on, you're wishing you don't have it. We want meat. We want meat. God gives them meat. Oh, we're sick of meat. Choke on it. They did. They began to die. Saul started out in the beginning fast and hard. His early years marked by bravery, leadership. But later he became jealous, paranoid, prideful, disobedient. I'm trying to talk to you about being a finisher. I can tell you the great things Saul did, but I'm also, he's more remembered for what he didn't do than what he did do. It's kind of like Uzziah was a great king, and Uzziah did all the right things. He broke down idols. He obeyed God. He was a mighty man of God. The beginning of his life was right in the sight of God, but he turned from God and he died of leprosy. He's remembered more for his arrogant act and leprosy punishment than his great reforms. I bet even when you hear the name Uzziah, you never think about the great things he did. Oh, that's the one who had the leprosy. How would you like that you spent 25 years in church doing all you did and nobody remembers any of that? Not one song you sang, not one thing you did. They only remember the bad thing you did that caused you to fall. All of it's for naught if you don't finish. All of it is, you say, well, that ain't right. It ain't right of you to quit either. Huh? Amen. I said, it ain't right of you to give up and quit. Hallelujah. And I'm meddling again. Be remembered for your consistent faith. Otherwise, you too may become more famous for your downfall more than your success. Like Samuel, we remember him not only as a starter, but a finisher. Yeah, a finisher. Samuel, a great prophet of God, that when he spoke, God did not let his words fall to the ground. Can you imagine that where you go and what you speak and what you say, your words won't fall to the ground? That's pretty powerful. My God, help me to begin to be like that, that I speak your voice. I speak the things you want. And then you got David. He was a finisher, even with all of his mistakes, his sins, and his problems. He was a repenter. Repentance, at once he repented, he did not, I'm not looking at anybody, repeat the sin. Samson, a finisher. Now, he tried to do things in his own strength, and he repeated things over and over. He kept messing up, repeating things. But the awesome thing about God, remember I said he's a God of second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth chances. I have another chance. I have hope. I got another chance. When Samuel repented and said, where is the pillars that holds this building up? He was set apart for God to kill the Philistines. He was set apart to God to judge Israel. He was set apart to God to do the things he did against the Philistines, but he also tried to do it in his own strength, just like the church tries to do. I'll just shake myself like I've always done, and we can just keep having church like we've always done. But he got a hold of the two pillars. When you get a hold of that pillar, when you get a hold of the pillar, Jesus, and you touch the hem of his garment, you touch the presence of him, something inside of you says, I don't want to be the same. And he began to cry out, avenge me, God. And he cried out, and when he got a hold of those pillars, he killed more Philistines in his death than he did in his whole lifetime. What a great finish. I said, that's the way I want people to come by my coffin, and when they look in, celebrating, saying, that girl took down more devils in the latter her years than she did her whole lifetime. She was chopping off heads and feeding them to the birds. Yay! Hallelujah. We usually run to win the race. The success of a race. Another one was Peter. Peter was a finisher. Though he denied Christ, he repented. You think, well, that's the worst thing of all. He denied Christ. But he repented. And God didn't say, nope, you denied me. I don't want nothing to do. No, he forgave him. And after the day of Pentecost, he was the bold one standing up, declaring, this is that's spoken by the prophet Joel. We're going to have a Holy Ghost meltdown. There's going to be shake, rattle, and roll. And life's going to change from the inside out. And you're going to shake like we are. Amen. Very ones you made fun of, now you doing it. Amen. He so believed in what he was to be a finisher. He so believed in it that he was willing to die for the gospel. And when his time came to die, he said, I'm not worthy to die as my Savior. Crucify me upside down. He was a finisher. A finisher again was Paul on the road to Damascus. Some of you need to get back on the road. Back in, bit back on the track to run so he can demask you. Because it was on the road to Damascus, he became a great starter even though he was blind and could not see. Something was changing in his life. You say, but I can't see either. Get on the road. God will send an Ananias or someone to you to lay hands and the scales will fall off and you'll begin to see. And if you just see men as trees, he says, I'll give you another touch so you can go around singing, I can see clearly now. The rain is come. I can see all obstacles in my way. Move, devil. Amen. Hallelujah. He was a great starter and a great finisher, Paul was. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which is the Lord, the righteous judge. He's a righteous judge. Well, what if he sends me to hell? He didn't. You sent yourself. He's a righteous judge. Amen. Shall give me at that day, and not me only, but unto all those that love his appearing. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. I'm looking for him to come. I love that song. Even so, Lord Jesus, come. My soul doth long for thee. If I fail and betray thy trust, even so, even if I do that, even so, Lord Jesus, come. I'm looking for him. I don't know about you, but I'm still looking for him. I've been looking for him ever since I was a little bitty kid in the tents when they'd say, he's coming soon, and we'd be on tippy toes. It's tonight. He's coming tonight. Amen. I still anticipate. We'd be in the middle of a church service having a Holy Ghost meltdown. Whoop, there we go. Glory to glory. Amen. He said, for those who are looking for him. We usually run to win the race. The success of a race is determined not only by how well you begin, but also how well you end. Many people start a race impressively, but if they stumble or lack the stamina to finish, their good start is useless. 1 Corinthians 9:24 through 27. Don't you realize everyone who runs in a race runs to win, but only one winner gets the prize? Run like that. Run to win. Well, if he's going to get the prize, why do I want to run? Because I'm going to get one too. But if she's going to get ahead and she goes, no, run as if you're the only one who's going to get the prize. But I'm here to tell you the good news. We all get the prize. But we got to run like we're the only one. We got to run like we got to beat everybody else. And that don't mean beat them up. We got to run to win. And we have to have a determination in us that we want to run like that to win. And so he said that's what we are to do. Everyone who enters an athletic contest goes into strict training. They do it to win a temporary crown, but we do it to win one that is permanent, called the crown of life. Hallelujah! You don't have to shout me down. I'll shout myself down. So I run, but not without a clear go ahead of me. So I box, but not as one who's just boxing a shadow. That's like boxing my own shadow. No, I'm boxing. I'm fighting. The devil's in my face. I got my boxing gloves on. Take your best shot, because you're fixing to go down, devil. Come on. You got to know what you're fighting for. You come to church, well, he just got me. That used to crack me up, people. They'd say, you want to testify? Well, the devil's been after me all week. It's like, put your boxing gloves back on. I just can't take it no more. I just want to testify and praise God that I'm here. I just don't know how I made it. Yeah, I'm thinking, what a testimony is that? They're trying to tell us they're glad they're made it. It's like, you need up here deliverance. Amen. Let me give you a pair of gloves, show you how to fight. Quit fighting your own self. Quit fighting your own shadow. Fight against what God says we're to fight against, and he will fight for us. Amen. And he said, rather I toughen my body with punches and make it. I'm reading this out of Message for those of you who's looking at King James of 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. I toughen my body with punches and make it my slave. That means my flesh gets subject to my spirit, which is Holy Spirit. I'm punching things against my body. I'm fighting back. No, you don't. I'm not doing that. You shut up. Yeah. Yeah. Well, no. Yeah, that's right. Sit down. Shut up. Amen. People say, well, you know, I was at church, and I'm telling you, all that stuff that she did was in the flesh. Did you see that? That was in the flesh. Praise God. She's not. She's going to look bad. We do come in our flesh. Amen. But God is showing us how to be overcomers of this flesh, to be victorious, to be winners. I'm trying to talk to you how to be a finisher. As Christians, we are running toward our heavenly reward, the essential disciples of prayer, Bible study, going to church, worship, going to church, worship, praise, testimony, many other things that equip us to run with vigor and stamina. Don't merely observe from the grandstands. Some people, I watch them sometimes during praise and worship, and they think they're at a concert in the grandstands watching everything. I say what you put into worship is what you'll get out of it. What you put into church, what you get. If you just sit in the grandstands, that's all you're going to get. And it won't even be a grandstand for you. So don't just come for the grandstands. Don't just turn out to jog a lap or two on Sunday or church gatherings. Should I say that again? Said, don't just come and turn out to jog a lap or two on Sunday or church gatherings. Train diligently, because spiritual progress depends on us. Highly skilled athletes lose their abilities if their muscles are not toned by constant use, and we lose our spiritual gifts if we don't put them to work. What happened to the one who buried his talent? He said, let me have that talent back. I'm going to go give it to this one that's got 10. He said, I want it. That's right. We're standing in line to take your talent. There's some things some of you do I like. I mean, I'd like to play guitar and sing like that. But I know I'm not going to get it because she's keeping hers. There's just some people you know that's going to. And so you're like, okay, Lord, we'll just let them lay hands so I can get some of that anointing. Amen. If you don't use it, you lose it. You are saved to serve. The Christian life involves hard work. We were in Colombia, 50 women manifesting at one time. It was a group of about 400 women and had the altar call. And I will think twice about this kind of altar call in the future, but God told me, I'm going to heal people from rape, molestation, abuse. I began to call out those things that God said he was going to heal them, people who's had abandonment, rejection, blah, blah. I just went through the list, and I said, come to the altar. And the minute I said that, they stood up, started screaming, throwing up, crawling like snakes. And I'm like, oh, God, help! So I will pray carefully. I'll say, God's going to deliver a lot of things. Y'all get on up here and then maybe tell them later. But if we had a handful. We had a mess. It wasn't one of those things you just stand there in a grandstand and look. It was time as a Christian to roll your sleeves up and get busy. That's what's wrong with our church today. People won't roll their sleeves up and get busy. It's time, church, you get your sleeves rolled up. It's time to get to work. I was down casting out a demon in a church in Pennsylvania, and the pastor just standing there looking like shocked. I guess one of his members had a demon. And he just kept looking. I said, look, you going to stand here and look, or you going to get down here and help me? Amen. I just want to know where they're at in it and what their determination is. I hope that's God calling me. If that's my phone. Is that my phone? You can't even hear it. I'm sorry, y'all. I thought I had it off. Yep. Just turn it off. Unless it's God, we'll talk to him. Yeah. To run patiently and to struggle against sin with power of the Holy Spirit to live effectively, we must keep our eyes on Jesus. We stumble when we look away from him. Remember, Peter was walking on water and he looked away and he began to drown. But what did he do? He cried, Lord, save me! Some of you need to stop and say, Lord, save me. I can't take no more. I'm drowning. I got my eyes off of you. But if you'll just take my hand, put me back in the boat, I'm going to keep my eyes on you. Amen. He wants to save you. He wants to put you back in his sight. Where you're keeping your eye on him and he's taking you to the boat. He's taking you back to the track to run. Amen. Sometimes we give up something good in order to do what God wants. Well, I gave up a good job. I gave up a good girlfriend. I gave up a lot of money to serve God. Jesus gave it all. And he never complained about, I took all these stripes, nails, I just did it all for you and you don't even care. No, he counted it all joy. And we're acting like we gave up something. You didn't give up nothing. Quit saying that. Amen. He said, we got to give up something in order to do what God wants. Each individual special duties determine the discipline and denial he must accept. We set our goals to please God. Our denial seems like nothing compared to the eternal reward that is ours. Don't let sins and iniquity of life keep you from your earnest, dedicated work. It is God we serve and not people. Amen. To be a follower of Christ means be willing to give up everything. God will turn our tragedies to triumph, our poverty to riches, our pain to glory, and our defeat to victory. Christians, you have a race to run, a race of service and a race of suffering. What? I thought when I became a Christian, everything was going to be good. That's why I came to church. That's why people told me if I just get right with God, my life would be better. They were right. Your wife is better. Didn't mean you ain't going to suffer. Will you drink my cup, God says? Yes, Jesus said, will you, the disciples? He said, yeah, you're going to drink my cup. Though there is suffering, I'm sorry to tell you, your hamstring's going to hurt. It's going to be tough trying to get to the end of that race. You're going to be sweating. You're going to be exhausted. You feel like you can't do it. Your tongue feels like it's dry. And nobody's giving you Gatorade or water. And nobody's hollering, you can do it. But God says you can. He says, I'm with you. If I have to run out there and grab you and put you on my shoulder and carry you in, I will help you make it to the end if you will just cry out to me, Lord, save me. So I want to close with these few things. One of the things that's going to help you make it is perseverance. That's a determination to do it to the very end. There's a lot more to the definition. I won't get into it, but perseverance is very important. And you have to have tenacity. If you don't have perseverance and tenacity, that means you can't be a wimp. You say, I don't know those big professor college words. Okay, well, you just can't be a wimp. A whiny, cryy baby. Because you're not going to be able to run. And you can't be one always looking back. Because a runner looking back can't ever get there. What did I tell you? We got to quit looking back. Our past is what's stopping us to make it to our future. Another thing is preparatory. That is to prepare for something. In order to be in the race, you have to prepare. Bible, church, reading, worship, testimony. There's so many things. Constant preparing. An athlete has to work the muscles, and we have to have the ability to forget the past life because it's a dead weight that pulls us down instead of going up. Let us lay aside all things that are external and internal. Perfective, to be perfect, become better, be incomplete. Christians have a race to run. The race is set in front of them, it's both by the word of God and by examples of faithful servants of God. It's showed all in his word how we can make it. He showed us. He gave us the fine example. Jesus himself did. But many other disciples even said, he made it, so can I. And you can begin to say, if he can do it, I can do it. If she can do it, I can do it. If he can do it, I can do it. If she can do it, I'm going to make it. Mark 3:13 says, and you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endures unto the end, the same shall be saved. There's a great satisfying feeling in finishing something you have started. Cross that finish line to hear Jesus say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter in. You made it. Now I want you to declare with me. I was saved to serve. I am a runner for Christ. I am a winner. And I am a finisher in Jesus' name. Look at your neighbor and say it. I am a finisher in Jesus' name. I am a finisher. Faith and patience and overcoming factors, therefore, must accomplish practice and discipline. I want you to watch something with me I found off of, and you might have seen it. It's an old DVD, but it was a son who has a handicap. And he told his dad, he said, I would like for you. He said, son, is there anything you would like to do? And he said, I would like for you to run a race with me. The dad was a very sick man. He had heart problems and other things. And I want you to see this because this is going to show you what I'm talking about in perseverance. This is going to show you what I'm talking about in tenacity. But it's going to show you, even as that boy who was disabled and couldn't do it, how that sometimes we can feel in our very weakest we can't do it, and how Jesus himself will carry us all the way to the end. And he said to his dad, I just want you to do the Iron Man with me. And I want you to watch as this father takes his son. And then I want you to picture Jesus no matter what's going on in your life and no matter how hard it's been. Because what God is calling you back to tonight is get back in the race. He wants you to finish. He saw the people falling off all the time through the Old Testament. He saw how that they were disobedient in the wilderness and crying. And he saw all of these things happening. And it was through that that he sent his son Jesus and said, show them how to endure to the end. They can make it, and they will make it. In Jesus' name. Amen. We'll pray for people after.
Who taught the sun where to stand in the morning? And who taught the ocean you can only come this far? And who showed the moon where to hide till evening? Whose words alone can catch a falling star?
I can do all things through Christ. If they can do it in the world, we can do it, church. We have even greater than that Father was to His Son. The greater is here. And He wants to carry us all the way through. And He wants us to make it and be a finisher. If there's nothing else, I leave with you in all the preaching I've done. In all the places I go, because I've told the Lord, He said, if there was something you were to leave people or say, what would you want to say to them? And I want to say, be a finisher. I want to say to myself, be a finisher. Don't give up on your healing. Don't quit. Don't stop. Don't give up. Don't give up on your family salvation, upon your friends. Don't give up on your miracle. Don't give up on your promises. Don't give up on your ministry. Don't give up on the harvest. And don't give up on revival. Amen. We're going to see it all, and we're going to finish. I declare it in Jesus' name, and He will see us through. Amen. Somebody will either come and play or put on some music. We're going to worship for a minute, and then we're going to pray with people. I don't care what it may be that you need prayer for. We're going to pray for sickness, pain. You heard the miracle, what happened with him on his feet. I think some other people's knees last night got healed, some different things. My husband was down here praying for some people, got word, and they got some miracle healings in their knees, and people were getting unstuck last night, because that was one of the things I felt like the Lord was saying, that many of you have been stuck. You've just been stuck. It's not that you want to be. Sometimes we get stuck. But thanks God, He's here to unstick us. And some of us were just getting unstuck last night. And so if you weren't here last night to get unstuck, we're going to pray for you to get unstuck tonight. Whatever you have need of, and whatever God to help you endure to the end, He wants to give you that victory tonight. Amen. So we're going to worship for a minute, and then we're going to just call people up for prayer. If you feel led while they're singing to come on up, that's fine. You go ahead and find you a place or come stand and just be ready, and we will pray with and for you. Amen. Go ahead and stand as she's getting ready. Come on, everybody, stand. That way you'll be ready in a walking motion to come down for prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Some of you, I want to pray for you to be finishers. I just want to lay hands on you. If it's just quickly even. If you have to leave, just come now, and we'll just lay hands. I want to pray for you to be a finisher. I want you to, yeah, come on, sweetie. You're going to be a finisher. She's not yet. You can pray for me later. Amen. Amen.
Still.